It was Christmas Eve. John and his wife were taking a look at the tree and all the presents that had been carefully laid out. Most of them were very pristine, well-wrapped, beautiful bows on them. It was really a postcard moment. And then John noticed that over in the corner there was one particular box that, well, it wasn't as neatly wrapped as all the rest. In fact, as he got closer to it, he could see that there was more glue than paper on this box. And he knew who it was from, and he reached down and he looked, and there in crayon was written, "To Daddy," and it was from their youngest, his little girl. Well, his heart just swelled as he thought about that. And he wondered what could be in there. Maybe she drew him a picture and folded it up neatly and then wrapped it and put it under the tree. Maybe last week in Sunday school they did some sort of craft project or something, and that's what's in the box. But he went to bed that night with great anticipation. Woke up the next morning, papers flying everywhere, giggles and laughter, everybody's opening up their gifts. Finally, she toddles over and she carefully picks up the box and she gives it to her dad with a smile on her face, and she almost starts to giggle a little bit, can't wait. He tries his best to carefully unwrap it, but it's kind of hard. And so finally, he's about to open the lid, and now she's just giggling out loud, right? Can't wait for him to open it up. And he opens up the box, and it's empty. Well, John didn't even think. He just angrily looked at his little girl and said, "That's not funny. You don't give empty boxes to people on Christmas. You should be embarrassed." She burst into tears, almost hysterics, and then finally she blurts out, "But Daddy, I blew kisses into that box all morning long before I wrapped it up for you." The story goes that John kept that on his desk for many years, and when everyone had kisses from his little girl, he'd open it up. In today's world, where we're estimated to spend $470 billion in America this Christmas, I just wonder if we shouldn't have more gifts like what the little girl gave to her dad. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't going to be a tirade about giving gifts and over-commercialization and we have to stop all of that. It's not that at all, right? I mean, like most people, I like giving gifts and I like receiving gifts. And probably like most adults, I'd rather give them than receive them. It's part of our culture. It's part of our celebration. So I'm all for the giving and receiving of gifts. But I wonder if we should take time to think a little bit about the gifts that we give and then ask ourselves, can we give gifts that have a little bit deeper meaning to them? In other words, can we give gifts that don't have a price tag, but yet they're priceless? Over the next few weeks, let's take a look at some of those gifts that we can give that don't have a price tag, but they're priceless. We can begin by just sort of taking stock and inventory of all the different gifts that we give this time of year. Now, again, this isn't a tirade against doing this, but I just started thinking about, can we categorize some of the gifts that we give this time of year, right? And I think they do fall into some natural categories. Like the first one is this: it's a gift for a gift. I'm certain that you've done this. A gift for a gift is when you know that someone's going to give you a gift, so you don't want to be caught empty-handed, so you make sure that you have a gift that you can give them back, right? Oh, come on. Every one of you on your list, you may not categorize it that way, but you have certain individuals, you know they're going to give you something, and so you've got to give them something in return, right? You've got it down to a science. You know that the one neighbor always brings something over. The other neighbor doesn't. You know that the one cousin always sends a package. The other one just sends a card, right? So you want to be prepared, right? Now, there's also a bit of an art to this as well, not just science, because determining who's going to give you a gift, but then more importantly, what will that gift be worth? Because you want to make sure that the gift that you give back to them, you want to make sure how much you're going to spend on that gift. And the optimum is to spend slightly more than they did. Right? You don't want to spend less because then you feel bad about it. If you spend the same, well, then you're okay, but you really hit a home run when you spend just a little bit more than what they spent on you, right? But of course, somebody always throws a monkey wrench into it, because somebody who's never given you a gift before, all of a sudden, they surprise you and give you a gift, right? Which sends you out to the ball, frantically looking for a gift for the gift that they gave to you. Merchants make a fortune on a gift for a gift. Not against it. We all do it. It's one category. There's the gift for a favor, right? Businesses do this a lot. In other words, there's a business maybe that you go to often, right? Some sort of vendor that you frequent, right? And so they'll send you a generic card and a small gift, right? Now, obviously, you can't give them a gift back. That doesn't make any sense. That's not what they're looking for. What they're looking for is the next time that you need their kind of service, you're going to think of them, right? I have all kinds of trinkets around my office of various vendors throughout the years who have sent me the generic card with another one of their little gifts for me. Some of them are quite unique, and I proudly display them. Others, well, I don't have them anymore. All right? It's just a gift for a favor. Now, it's not just businesses, though, if you think about it, right? So it's when you buy a gift for the person who cleans your house, when you buy a gift for your favorite sitter. You buy a gift for the person that takes care of the pool. You buy a gift for the person that does your hair, right? Now, you're all getting quiet because you're getting defensive, right? And you're saying, that's not a gift for a favor. That's a way of saying thank you. All right, you say tomato, I say tomato. Same thing. Gift for a favor, all right? There's nothing wrong with it, right? I think it's okay. There's also the gift for yourself. That seems to be growing in popularity, at least from my track, as I'm listening to people, right? Some people, right, they're just blatantly. They're just, I'm buying this for myself, right? I've even heard a couple people, they wrap it up and they put it underneath the tree. Are they surprised on Christmas morning? It's okay if you want to buy a gift for yourself. There's a more covert way, though, of handling this, right? That's when you give a gift to another individual, but you know that you'll benefit from it too, right? I was guilty of this when I was like 7 or 8 years old, right? I gave my older brother, he's 8 years older than I am, I gave my older brother an Erector set. Now, if you don't know what an Erector set is, I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter. Let's go with it this way. It's the perfect gift for a 7-year-old boy. Not for a high schooler. Not even close, right? It's when you give your wife a scroll saw so that she can start a new hobby. Right? Right? It's the gift for yourself. There's also the gift that's practical. Now we're guilty of that in our house. I'll tell you that. It's the practical gift at Christmas time. Michelle and I will say, listen, let's not buy gifts for one another. Let's put it all together and get just one gift, right? And it's usually something for the house. Yeah? So nothing says Merry Christmas than a side-by-side with a water dispenser in the door, you know? But it works. It works, right? And I'm not railing against any of these kind of gifts. There's even more. I mean, there's gifts that are given just in genuine love. There's gifts of showing your appreciation. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, of categories of gifts that we give to one another. What I'm saying is, beginning this week, are there some gifts that maybe have a deeper meaning to them? Gifts that don't have a price tag, but they're priceless. And the first one that I would suggest to you is the gift of grace. Can you give the gift of grace? Because grace is when you show love and it's unexpected, it's undeserved, and frankly, it's unconditional. You just simply show love to another individual. It's when it's unexpected. When you take the person aback, when you do something for them, where they're shocked, they're thrown off their game, they just didn't see that one coming, right? So, for instance, when you're out in the mall and you're doing your shopping and it's an extremely busy day, and maybe it's at the end of the shift and you're the next one in line and the clerk just sort of snaps at you and barks at you to come up if you're the next person, right? Now, your initial reaction, my initial reaction would be either to bark back at him, see a manager, or go home and write a nasty review about that store. That would be a natural, normal reaction to that. An unexpected reaction would be walking up to the clerk and saying, "You've had a rough day. This season has got to be killer on you. Take your time processing the order. Anything I can do for you?" And then, sincerely, wish them a good day. Jaws will drop, and maybe a heart will melt. It's unexpected. That's grace. Grace is unexpected. Grace is undeserved. Undeserved, in other words, when you show love to another individual, which really you'd rather not, when you show love to another individual who's been anything but loving towards you, it means when you show compassion and they've only shown anger towards you. It means when you show kindness and they've only shown hatred back at you, it's completely undeserved. It's when you walk up to your cousin who's going through a divorce this Christmas and you put your arm around her and tell her that you're sorry and you're praying for her, all the while knowing that a couple years back, she practically disowned you when you went through your divorce. Doesn't deserve it. That's grace. A grace gift is offering it to someone that doesn't deserve it. And it's unconditional. You don't put any stipulations on it. You don't say, well, I'm going to give them this gift, but I expect something back. I'm going to be nice to them, but I'm going to expect that they're going to be nice to me. No, it's when you're being nice to the person and you fully expect them to be mean back to you. That's an unconditional gift. It's mean when you put no parameters about it, which means that you show love to them before they get cleaned up and knowing that they may never clean up. They may never get their act together because this kind of love is an unconditional love. That's what grace is. Grace is unconditional. A grace gift really is a Christmas gift. Isn't that the essence of what we're going to celebrate? Because what we're celebrating is God's gift to us. And God's gift is definitely a grace gift that he's given to us. It certainly is unexpected. Positively, it's undeserved. And absolutely, it is unconditional that he gives it to us. This is the essence of Christmas. It's God's gift to us, and it is a gift of grace. It's completely unexpected. Go with me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, you recall that God created the entire universe. He put together a beautiful garden in paradise. He gave mankind everything that they needed. He said, just don't eat from the one tree. Adam and Eve, they eat from the one tree. And then God comes down to visit. We pick it up in verse 9. The Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. How sad is that? Adam used to walk with God, be in his presence, and now he hears God, and he's afraid. Why is he afraid? Because he knows he's messed up. He knows that he's sinned. He did the thing that God asked him not to do. He's not sure what to expect from God, but he's thinking it's going to be something along the lines of righteous anger. There's going to be punishment. There's going to have to pay for his actions. That's what he's expecting. But instead, what do we get in verse 15? As God is cursing the serpent, he says this, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. You see, Adam was expecting punishment. Instead, he got a promise. This is the first promise of the Messiah. That he who will crush the head of the serpent would one day be born of Mary. It's Jesus, crushing the power of Satan in our lives. Completely unexpected. It's grace. It certainly is undeserved. I mean, there's nothing about us that says that somehow that God should love us. There's nothing compelling about us that makes us more lovable to God. In fact, the very opposite. We do the opposite of what God wants us to do. And all of us are guilty of that. It's not just Adam and Eve, but since that time, we've gone against the things that God wants us to do. And a lot of times, we do it with full knowledge that what we're doing is wrong. And yet, God still continues to love us. Take a look at Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've got that. But get this, are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We're made right freely as a gift by God. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us anyways. How about Ephesians 2:8? For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This isn't from yourself. What is it? It's the gift of God. It's the gift of grace. We don't deserve God's love, but he gives it to us anyways. And it's absolutely unconditional. God doesn't put any stipulations on it. God doesn't say, well, if you grovel at my feet and beg for forgiveness, then I might have a little bit of mercy on you. God doesn't say, well, once you straighten your life out and you get on the straight and narrow, well, then we'll talk, son. No. Completely, completely unconditional. A verse in the New Testament that just blows me away is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in rebellion against God, he laid down his life for us, right? In fact, Jesus laid down his life for all mankind. So while those are cursing his name, he laid down his life for them. For those who have rejected him, he lays down his life for them. For those who are living contrary to everything that he's ever taught, he lays down his life. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. Completely unconditional. You don't have to do something to make yourself right so that God would love you. He loves you. And he looks for nothing in return. That's grace. That's the gift of Christmas. It's the gift of grace. Unexpected, undeserved, and completely unconditional. My challenge for you and for myself over the next few weeks, it should happen all the time, but especially over the next few weeks, can you look for those opportunities to give the gift of grace, to show love or kindness or compassionate to someone, catch them completely off guard, jaws drop, can't believe that you would be nice to me? Can you find someone that absolutely doesn't deserve it, but you show them love anyways? And can there be no stipulations? Completely unconditional. Just simply give them the gift of grace. Because maybe this year, we should give some gifts that don't have a price tag on them. And yet they're priceless. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is only by grace that we can even stand in your presence. Completely unexpected, certainly undeserved by us, and you put no stipulations, you put no conditions. You simply sent your Son into this world to redeem us, to save us, to bring us back, to be your children once again. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be empowered and able to show that same kind of love to those around us, that we could give the gift of grace as well. In Jesus' name, amen.